Well, good morning. It is good to be able to come and bring forth the Word of God. And these times that we're living currently with the coronavirus and limiting of the gathering of people, we still want to bring a message that God is still God and that He's not given up on us. I was so thankful that I was able to hear the message that was shared last Sunday from that of Wayne and Julie and Terry. I loved it when Wayne had shared Psalms 91, and the heading of that in my Bible speaks of that of the safety of abiding in the presence of God. Just reading that psalm and hearing him read it to us was very, very encouraging. And today I want to go into Psalms as well. And I want to go to Psalms 107. And here in Psalms 107, it's finding that of thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. And now, God delivers us from many things. Jesus Christ delivered us from the penalty of sin. Amen. And God, throughout the Old Testament, delivered his people many times over. And I want to share that in part of the message this morning in regards to what God did for his people. But in Psalms 107, we find a common area in certain verses. And they're encouraging, and I want to focus a little bit on them this morning before we get into the message. Psalms 107 starts off at, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good." Say good. He is good. "For his mercy endures forever. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If you're redeemed, say so it right now where you're at. "Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south." And as I get further into Psalms 107, I find in verse 6. Now, this week, the last couple of weeks maybe, probably this week coming up, and some weeks in the future, I don't know. But I believe there will be some people crying out. And in 107 verse 6, it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Not just one distress, but plural distresses. Have you been distressed these last few days? I go on further, and in verse 13, again it says, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." He delivered them out of their distresses. He saved them out of their distresses. He is going to do that same thing for us in these times that we're living in. I just want to bring a word of encouragement that these things that our God will do. One other area in 19, Psalms 107, 19. "And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them," again, "out of their distresses." One other last time here in Psalms 107, over in verse 28, it says, "And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses." We find where he delivered them out of their distress, he saved them from their distress. And verse 28, it ends with, "And he brings them out of their distresses." Verse 29, "He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. And so he guides them to their desired haven." Folks, I just want to encourage you again that God is still God and God is on the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. So as we look at the times that we're in, we are experiencing at this time something that I don't think any of us has had to go through at any time in our lives currently, those of us that are here. I'm, of course, speaking to the current health situation with that related to the coronavirus. I think we now call it COVID-19, an abbreviated form. It is not just affecting our nation, but it's nations and countries around the globe. I'm not sure where you stand spiritually regarding this virus that is affecting so many countries and the number of people that have contracted the virus, as well as the numbers that have died resulting from the virus. We will hear from some that say it is God's wrath on mankind. Some that have no connections to God, no understanding of Jesus the Christ, will think of it as anything different than a situation that has come about from one reason or another. It's just happened. Whichever way that you lean, I respect your thoughts. But the one thing that is clear, it is affecting all of us. Now, one of my concerns is for those that have no connection to a faith community and how this will affect them. But those that say they have a relationship with God through the blood of Christ, I believe that we will weather this and we will come out on the other side just fine. Amen? It made me begin to think about some things in Scripture in the Old Testament. And again, I'm not believing this is the judgment of God upon our nation, but that's just me personally. Remember, I respect your thoughts on it. Please respect mine. I just don't know. But I really don't think it's that of God. So I wanted to review how God moved his people out of the land of bondage, that land of Egypt back in Exodus. We find that he moved them out of that bondage in Exodus chapter 1 through 6. But then we get into where God placed several plagues on the land of Egypt. And I think the thing I want to point out or bring out of this whole thing, again, it's not the wrath. I don't believe God is pouring plagues upon America with the coronavirus or COVID-19 and all. It's something that has happened. And it's something that, so I believe something good will come out of it. I believe things will be changing for the better. But that's just me. But looking at the plagues that was experienced in Exodus on Pharaoh. Plague number one in Exodus 7, let's turn there. So if you would, let's just go into Exodus a little bit here and touch upon just a few of these things and continue on. I trust, again, that this is going to bring encouragement to us. It's what it's all about. And the church is to bring encouragement. God's word, yes, is to correct us and to build us and to help us. But a lot of his word is there, I believe, to encourage us and to let us know that he's there. So the first plague, we find that in Exodus 7. And Moses is told to take his staff and strike the water of the Nile. So we find that in 19. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and said to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and over their rivers and over the ponds and over all the pools of the water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. It, totally, anything of H2O was going to be turned to blood. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded in verse 20. And so he lifted up the rod, and he struck the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of the Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the rivers turned to blood. And we find that the fish were in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. That was the first plague. We get into Exodus chapter 8 for the second one. And this is speaking of that of the frogs. We find where Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs covered the land. And it goes on, and I believe 8:5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And so Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And we also find that as he put the frogs there, the Lord took the frogs away. And it goes on to say, in verse 8, then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they remain in the river only. And so he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain where? In the river only, where they belong. Moses and Aaron went from Pharaoh. Moses cries out to the Lord concerning the frogs, which he had brought against Pharaoh. And so the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the courtyards and out of the fields. We go on to the third plague, of that of lice. Verse 17 of chapter 8 of Exodus. And they did so. Okay, so we go forth, and it says, so the Lord says to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand and your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. They did this, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. We go into that of the flies. Here again, this would be the fourth plague. Exodus 8:20 speaks of that. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And it goes on in 22 where it says, and in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. Verse 23, and I will make a difference between my people and your people tomorrow. This shall be the sign. So we find that the flies were there, but not there with his people. As children of God, we shall find that when God, if this was a plague of that of God, that it would not be placed upon his children. And to be his children would be that I am a child of his through that of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, as I have received him as that when I confessed him as my Lord and Savior at the cross. He died. His blood cleansed me of my sins. He is my Lord and Savior. I'm a child of God. Oh, hallelujah. We go on into the fifth plague, that of Exodus 9 and 1. And that's talking about the livestock of Egypt all died. But here again, you find not one head of the livestock of the Israelites died. You can read that in 9:3, where it talks about all the donkeys, the cattle, the camels, the oxen. Everything died, but the cattle of that of the children of Israel, they lived. They were not touched by it. The sixth plague was 9:8, Exodus 9:8. It speaks of the boils that come upon man and beast in Egypt. And it talks where the Lord goes to Moses, or says to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from the furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. It'll become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land. And then they took the ash, they scattered them toward heaven, and they caused the boils to break out, just as they were told to do. The seventh plague is 9:13. It talks about hail, rains from the sky, as well as a fire falls to the ground. So let's take a look at that a little bit. Go ahead, turn to Exodus. Continuing reading there in chapter 9, okay? In 23, it talks about, and Moses stretches out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it had become a nation. And then the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. My, my, my. So a few years back, we had some hail damage here when a hailstorm went through our area, and it damaged a lot of houses, ours, the roof, siding and whatnot. So I could just imagine hail coming down in such a power to even break the trees. Now, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was, guess what? Yeah, you got it. No hail. God protects his own. In verse 8, I'm sorry, plague 8, plague number 8, chapter 10, talks about that of the locusts covering the land, and everything and anything that remained from the hail was now eaten by the locust. So what the hail didn't damage and tear up, the plague number 8 comes in, and the locusts come in, and they devour everything that was green, leaving nothing. In plague number 9, we find that darkness covers the land of Egypt for 3 days. It states that the people could feel the darkness. Look at in Exodus 10, 20, 21. 10, 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from this place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had what? Had lights in their dwellings. God's people are taken care of. As we read through these plagues, as we read through these things that were taking place, yes, it was in the Old Testament. Yes, it was God bringing his people out of bondage, out of Egypt, and presenting these plagues upon Pharaoh. But as we read through these things, as I reread them and thought upon them, God, with his people, he took care of his people. How many here, how many listening, would raise your hand and say, I am one of his people. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm hallelujah. I'm one of his. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. Praise God. Now, we got to get into plague number 10. This is the final plague. This is where it deals with the death of the firstborn, and you'll find that in Exodus chapter 11 through 12. This is where we would read that the blood of the lamb, without spot or blemish, it had to be a perfect sacrifice. Kind of reminds me of a sacrifice that was for me and you, and that of Jesus. Perfect, without blemish. But we find here that this is where we read the blood from the lamb without spot or blemish be placed on the two door posts and on the lintel or that top of the door support by the Israelites. In doing so, the Lord would pass by and the plague would not destroy them. So as I come to the end of the plagues, I see how God placed these plagues upon the land of Egypt to bring his people out of bondage. And I believe I see my God helping us today, going through what we're going through with this COVID-19. Yes, life as we know it has been jumbled upside down, sheltering in place. We've had terminology and things that have come out that it's like, where in the world? Had somebody told us 2 months ago that this would take place, I don't know what we would be thinking. But we come to find out things happen. Things happen. But we are learning some new terminology. Shelter in place, you know. A run on things in the stores. My goodness, I think the first thing that was running out of, I heard through some reports, was, I don't know, a lot of things, but two key things out there was pizza, frozen pizza, and toilet paper. Put the two together, I don't know. But it's interesting what people gravitate towards in a time of a panic. And that's what a lot of it is the panic. Now, granted, we're at a place that we've not experienced before. When that happens to a society, things go out of balance. And people begin to go to and fro, and they overreact. We as a church can overreact. How do we overreact as a church? We could call this and say, "This is God bringing damnation upon the nations." Well, it might be. I don't know. But I'll leave that up to God. I want to go to the side of, during this time, my God's going to protect me and take care of me. And while I'm going through this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray and I'm going to intercede for my nation, for my government, for my state. I want to intercede and pray for medical science. Anybody and everybody out there that has a hand or a part to play in bringing us back to, I don't know. I don't know if I want to go back to where we came because it was kind of crazy then. But I believe this is going to come about and good things will come out of it. Don't you believe that? If so, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All righty, here we go. So as I saw this and how the plagues were put upon Pharaoh and the people, but I also saw this, that God was helping his people. God was protecting his people. And God, that same God, is he the same God yesterday and today forever? Amen. Okay, he is helping us today and he will help us tomorrow and the days to come. Now, this is not to say that there will be some Christians who, yes, they will get the virus. And some may die, or maybe they have already died. But with that said, I still need to trust him, God, as my protector. And I pray to him to ward off illnesses and diseases from me. We've been covering our family, our kids, our grandkids. You know, we're praying for our family members, praying for the church, praying for loved ones that we know, for God to protect them. And you know what? I know that my God hears my prayers. How do you know that? Because I'm a child of his. He is my Father in heaven. My Father. Our Father, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's my Father. Is he your Father? I believe so. But I still need, and you still need, to believe and understand that he is there to protect us. Because guess what? Even for us today, prior to COVID-19, coronavirus, this thing that's taken, you know, the world, my goodness, we still got sick. We still had diseases upon good Christian people. Yes, even those of us being followers of Jesus, we got sick. We live in a realm of a fallen society and a fallen world. These bodies that we have, they're temporal. You know, they do a phenomenal job of repairing themselves. God did great at our design and putting things together. Amen. But there is a point in time we are a body that has some times of discrepancies and gets sick and injuries. But here it is. Here's the one difference, though, guys. The big difference of this is that as children of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is that we have a place that is located far from here for eternity that Jesus has prepared for us. And it will truly outshine this place that we call here our temporal home. Now, I say that cautiously because I don't want you to jump to, that Tim is ready to go out of this place now. No, really, you know what? In a matter of fact, I am encouraged right now, and I am excited right now to be here on planet Earth. Why? I want to see my God move in times such as these that we are all experiencing together. Amen? I believe God will show up, has showed up, continues to show up in our situations every day, every night, every week, every day. Hallelujah. He's there. So no, I do know that if I'm called home, if I leave this place, I'm going to eternity, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. But I want to, and I am happy, and I am excited to be here, even going through this time. Because I'm going to see my God perform, I believe, like he did back in Exodus with those plagues. Yes, granted, he placed those plagues on the people, but he protected those of his, the children of Israel, from being affected by some of those things. And as we are going through this time with the virus, I believe our God, my God, I'm my God, I believe he's your God, if you claim that, is that he will protect me as well. Hallelujah. And the exciting thing is to be at this time and this place. So let's continue on. So don't jump to the conclusion that I'm ready to leave. No, I'm encouraged and I want to be here, see God move. I pray that God will move through me to do what he desires at this time. He is going to use me and you and every one of us of his church, amen, at times like this. The world needs Christians. This nation needs Christians. This state needs Christians. This county needs a Christian base, amen. For as our God protects and brings us through it, there will be others that I believe will reap that benefit. In the past, I've talked about there's those around us that have no inkling to that of God, but because I'm a child of God and he blesses me, I believe there's collateral blessings that go away and around me that affects those around me, whether it's my neighbors, neighborhood, city, state, whatever the case is. I just believe that because I believe my God is taking care of me. Hallelujah. I hope you do too. But what are we to do, you might ask? This time and purpose that we're here. Well, maybe it's to follow, or maybe it's to help show a fellow human being love, to help one another, to show peace and comfort to those around you. And I'm going to tell you, above everything else, it's to do what? Pray. It is sad that the only time that we really as a nation call upon this is during times of tragedies. To say, keep this in prayer. I know it's been difficult because we've had to postpone even like a Tuesday night prayers or Bible studies. And we're not that large. But here again, it's just I want to do the responsible thing, and I would hate to have someone come and then something would happen, and we have to look out for one another. We've got to use wisdom and guidance. And yes, you know, as crazy as it is to listen to the government officials, as crazy as they are sometimes. But I believe this is the responsible thing to do, that we postpone. I hate the word cancel. I don't want to cancel it. I'm going to start using postpone. Just means it's going to be for a later time. Amen. And we will come back. And we will have services, and we will have Bible studies, and we will have corporate prayer. But all of those things can be addressed in your home. We'll get to that a little bit later. But above everything else, I just know that we can pray. And as I share this message, that I know that the body of Christ here at Harvesters Church, you folks, you ladies and gentlemen, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. We see it in evidence on our Sunday morning services. As we begin our services here, we pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We invite and we want the Holy Spirit to be here. Even right here, believe it or not, as I look around an empty auditorium, the Holy Spirit is here leading me and guiding me through this time of the message, because this is his message that I believe he is wanting to speak through me to send to you for encouragement, comfort, peace. I think that's the one thing that I really enjoy in the areas of you hear that word out there of shalom. And we have touched upon that in past messages many years back probably, but shalom is that of completeness, wholeness, health, peace. welfare, safety or soundness, a tranquility, prosperity even with that of shalom, perfectness, a fullness, to be at rest, to be in harmony. The absence of agitation or discord. I find that so encouraging, that one word, shalom, Jewish, shalom. You meet somebody, shalom, health, peace, welfare, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, rest, harmony, all these things in that word translates into that. So for such a time as this, shalom, amen, amen. Continuing on, the second area I want to look at is the situation that the church is not being able to gather as that of what? A corporate body. And it is important to do that. It tells us not to forsake ourselves assembling together like faith people. We need to assemble. But there are times such as this that we are experiencing this week, this day, in the next week or two maybe, that it'll be difficult to assemble together this way. So does that mean that the church is shut down? Oh, yes and no. What do you say? Are you tossed to and fro, Pastor? No. Yes, the physical building, the church, the physical building, Harvester's Church building at 4138 West Cemetery Road is closed. But really, now as the church is closed down, let's look at the scriptures of where the church is at. We want to find out, and I believe, and we know that we are the church. When we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in us, it speaks of us being the temple of God. A temple is a church. A temple is. And so wherever you are hearing this message, you are the church. In your living room, kitchen table, wherever you might be, you are the church. And that helps us understand, or helps me understand, that yes, when those times come to where it will be a government shutdown of Christianity in fullness, and we will not be able to meet together, if that happens, which I believe it'll probably come about, but way down the line of years, I believe. But no matter that, we, wherever we're at, we're the church. We are the church. We will gather together in a home. Two or three are gathered, there will I be. Amen. So we don't have to have a lot of people to be in the presence of God. It says, where two or three are gathered, so there I shall be. So the physical building of a church is closed, but really, now is the church really in action. Jesus promises us a helper. If we could go to John, let's move over into John, and we'll try to keep moving along here a little bit. John 14, 15 to 18, it says this, John 14, 15 to 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And it's going to be the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be what? In you. He dwells with you and he's in you. Say that. He dwells with me and he is in me. Hallelujah. Continuing on, and I will, verse 18, will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And that's where we find that, see, it says here that the word, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the world has a hard time grasping this because they're hardened, mind is seared. The God of this world has done a wonderful job of doing these things, but even today, if their hearts are hardened and their minds are seared, the power of God can come and soften and open both of those areas. Amen? You believe that? I do. Hallelujah. It did it to me many years ago. Hey. It talks about we are a temple. So if we go into 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It talks about, do you not know, Paul sharing this, do you not know that you are, what? The temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. There's a chorus that we'd sing, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. Amen. Tells us right here, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Hallelujah. Now this speaks of the temple is about the building as identified as God's temple, made holy by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So here again, talked earlier, as we pray for the power of the Spirit to be with us during our corporate services, that we want nothing more than the Holy Spirit to come and have His way in our dwelling place. Now, what we want to do, though, this is speaking of that of the church, okay, where we are dwelling as a body. But now if I turn 1 Corinthians 6:19, we find this in 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this, or do you not know that your what? Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from who? God. And you are not your own. We are not our own. See, that we change a whole, our whole being changes when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill and indwell in me. We become this. We find out that what? Hallelujah. 6:19 is telling us, do you not know, Tim, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is what? In me? Woo! He's in me. He's in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Why? Verse 20 says, I was bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit is in us. We are His and He is ours. Hallelujah. So as we look at this, we find also some things that in Ephesians 1:13, it talks about here, let's see, Ephesians 1:13, that we are sealed, amen, hallelujah. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But before I get to 1:13, there's just some other interesting things there in Ephesians 1. In 7, it says that in Him, everybody say in Him, we have redemption through what? His blood, the forgiveness of my sins, according to the riches of who? His grace, which He made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence. Hallelujah. Continuing on in verse 11, Ephesians 1:11, it talks about in Him. Again, I didn't hear you. Say it. In Him. Alrighty. We also have obtained what? An inheritance. We have inherited something from Him. Hallelujah. My. And then in verse 13, in Him you also trusted, here we go, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having, what did you have to do? Believed, you were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. My, hallelujah, a guarantee. When we look at that word, who is, okay, let's repeat it a little bit here, your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is what? The guarantee. So let's look at that word, guarantee. Guarantee literally means a deposit. It's like that of a down payment. Or we could claim it as a first installment. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit invested in us is God's title to possessing us entirely and forever. I hope everyone that's hearing this desires, amen, to be possessed by God entirely and forever. Amen. It's what it's all about. Going through times such as this, I have concerns, but they're quickly wiped out with peace and joy, with the things of my understanding of my God, hallelujah. We'll end with, He'll supply my needs and all these things, but we will look at that. But here it is, a guarantee means that, deposit, a down payment, a first installment. The Holy Spirit invested in us is God's title to possessing us entirely and forever. God loves us. God loves you, and He's here for us. Thank you, Father. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Let's see what that says. It says, rejoice. These are the days that we need to rejoice. Amen. Going to have a lot of downtime, a lot of time in your house, a lot of time away from people. But you're never away from God, and God is never away from you. Amen. But it says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And here's the key things we want to focus on, because there's a lot of this going on, ladies and gentlemen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7. And here it is. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We get into times like this and we struggle. The world is struggling at some of these things. They're not at peace, okay? Their hearts are turmoil. Their minds are spinning. But we have, with what God says here, the peace of God, it surpasses the understanding. It'll guard our heart. We need somebody to guard our hearts, amen? Guard our minds. Because the world out there will do everything in its power to get into your heart and get into your mind. And if it can, it'll just create anxiousness, anxiety, craziness, you name it. Now, when we look at this peace, so what is this peace talking about in verse 7? And the peace of God. Peace is that of state of quiet, or of that of tranquility. Talks about that of peace being freedom from disturbance or agitation. It kind of ties into, earlier I talked about shalom. But peace. Peace. And then when we get to that word of understanding here where it says, and the peace of God, which does what? Surpasses all understanding. That word surpasses is to say this, to exceed all understanding that you would have. To surpass would be to excel, pass all of your understanding that you are able to understand. Lastly, it would mean this, to go beyond your understanding. We find that this peace of God, which surpasses, excels, goes beyond my understanding, will guard my heart and my mind through who? Christ Jesus. Glory! Hallelujah, Lord! Be at peace and rejoice and be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. In verse 6, let's see here. Verse 6, it talks about be anxious for nothing, okay? If we look at that, I'm going to swing back to Matthew quickly. Matthew 6 and 25, and it talks about here, Jesus is saying, therefore, I say, do not worry about your life and what you will eat. Here we go. Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We're getting into a lot of this. You know, people are ravaging the stores, shelves of the store being bare and all these things. Remember, pizzas are gone, toilet paper is gone, bread is going by the wayside. You know, a lot of different things. It just depends. But they're all out there. It's just taking time to get it back into the store. It's really not a shortage. It's just that everybody decided to, you know, go and shop and fill up three carts all at one time with the same stuff. So we have food in the pipeline. We got food in the warehouse. It's all fine and good. Everybody say good. Good. But here Jesus is speaking, 6:23 or 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. We can go on with that. But I want to focus on that word worry because it has to tie in with what we just spoke of in Philippians, talking about being anxious, okay? Anxious kind of ties into worry. And it says here, it talks about worrying or anxiousness is a distraction, a preoccupation with things. Are you preoccupied the last few days with the news and everything that's changing, like every 30 minutes as far as what's being done or what's not going to be done or what's opening, what's closing? A lot of preoccupation with that, causing anxiety, causing stress, causing pressure. Now, Jesus speaks against worry and anxiety. Because why? Of the watchful care of our Heavenly Father, who is ever mindful of our daily needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Ever mindful of our daily needs. In Philippians 4:13, it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've got to understand, where does our strength come from? My strength comes from God. I've got to understand that. I've got to believe that. I've got to trust that. Then we jump over to Philippians 4:19, and it says this, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We are in a time that, again, I've started out as I kind of wrap this up, we are at a time that we have not seen really in any one of our times for decades. There's a lot of unknownness. There's a lot of uneasiness. There's a lot of craziness. There's just a lot of things. And I would encourage you, yes, pay attention to the news and hear a report now and then. But don't listen to the news, you know, like 10 hours a day about different reports around the country and all these numbers and these or that or whatever, because it'll just create an anxiety within you. Yes. Listen to the news maybe once in the day or at the end of the day, whatever the case might be, whatever you think you need to do. But take the rest of the time and relax. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Pray. Intercede. Help out one another. Encourage one another. Call one another. Check on one another. Amen. Don't go knocking on the door. We need to be separate for a few weeks. But you can call. As far as they know, this virus does not go through the cell phones and things of that nature or through the old landlines, okay? But it is important for us as the body of Christ to be there for one another. We got to be there for one another. But it talks about where he shall supply our needs. Now, we got to be careful with this because we find a lot of prosperity people out there that take this and they just run with it. But what this verse is telling us is that God will supply your need by a distinct and definite measure. According to what? His riches. And so in declaring this, God makes it clear that he is not stingy when it comes to provision. Amen. He is not stingy. He provides for his people. His riches encompass all of creation, so there is nothing that you would need that he cannot provide. But we've got to be careful. We have to be careful because there we get into this misquoting and misreading to where we think, everything I get and want, I'm going to get it, you know, a new car, a new TV, whatever the case is. It says here, it does not say that God shall supply your needs, N-E-E-D-S. Okay, let's look at that. Look at verse 19. He shall supply all your what? N-E-E-D. Need. But it does say that he shall supply your need. That includes everything at once. And all of it is adequately covered because he does it according to his riches. This verse cannot be lifted out of the Bible. It underwrites and relates to everything that the Scriptures tell us to do in order to prosper. And here it is, as I come to a close on this. Different ones might be listening to this, but it's so vitally important to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to acknowledge him as that, and then to follow the things that God has instructed us to follow. Because if we do what the Bible tells us to do, God will provide abundantly. We have to adhere to God's word for God's riches to be truly poured out upon us, his people. And that's where we need to be, in his will, hearing from him, obeying what he has asked us to do, to turn from the world, focus and face those things of heaven. Yes, help out in this world. I'm not to say not to do that. But we've got to focus upon him, and everything that we do and say, we want it to bring honor and glory to who? God. We need to leave our old life behind us as we become new. The snares of this world that had us, the god of this world, Satan, we've got to turn our backs upon those things that we did in the past that were sin, that what God calls sin, and I'm not going to get into that. You can find that in Scripture. But the important part of this is when we get into this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, is that we have to make sure that we're doing all that we're to do in honoring and obeying God and what his word tells us to do. So as I come to the close of this message, I do want to leave you encouraged that it is going to get better, that God is still God, and that this too shall pass. I would encourage you again to check on one another, call and pray with one another. I will, throughout the next few days and the weeks, call the folks here at Harvesters Church and just check upon you, see how you're doing. But be there for one another. Know that God is there for you and us. And even though the church is maybe not assembling together for the next few Sundays or three or four Sundays, whatever it may be, knowing that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that you are a temple of God, you are the church. Hallelujah. And so continue in prayer, continue to be encouraged, and remember shalom, completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety or soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I find and I trust that those that listen to this will find encouragement in it. I truly know and believe that you have not left us here forsaken, for your word tells us that you will not leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And so, Father, I pray right now. I pray for this nation. I pray for the leadership from the federal level all the way down to the city level and the county level, that you will give wisdom to the men and women that are making decisions. Father, I pray that you will bring knowledge into that of our medical field that will be working on and continue to work on medication or a medicine to curb this virus. But above all things, Lord, I just pray right now that you will cleanse this nation, cleanse the world, Father, right now of this virus. We speak against the coronavirus, COVID-19, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that you would eradicate it out of our nation. I pray that everything will come back into order, a better order than what started. I pray that things will change, Lord, for that of good in this nation. I pray that more and more people will give you the attention of the day rather than the problems of the day. And so I thank you and I praise you right now, Father God, that you are with us and that you will see us through this. Touch each one here now that is listening to this message. Address their needs, I pray. And until we meet again, hallelujah, God be with each and every one of you. I ask it all in Jesus' name, my Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless.